Here's a question. You know, this coming year, there's going to be a lot of panic around the election because there always is. Well, how do you take advantage of the fear and then the relief in the stock market leading up to the presidential election? One piece from MarketWatch talks about one opinion, how to do it, but we've got a better opinion. I don't know if it's, well, it's a fantastic opinion. Let's put it that way. Lynette Kilfani-Cox, the money coach, here with us on today's Money with Friends. Welcome to Money with Friends, coming to you live from my mom's half-finished basement outside Detroit, Michigan. I'm Joe Saul-Sehy.
And I'm Lynette Kilfani-Cox, the money coach, coming to you from Houston, Texas.
And much warmer, by the way, than here in Detroit, I would point out.
Yes, I like it like that.
I'm sure. And apparently I like it snowy because that's what we have here. This is the show where not only do we read a recent financial piece that interests us like a lot of shows do, but we also dissect them and talk about what they mean to you and your wallet so you can earn, save, and spend with a plan. And we do that 6 days a week. Today's piece is brought to you by Round. Big thanks to them for supporting Money with Friends. Round is a digital consultant that gets members direct access to premium investments. With Round, your money's actively invested with Wall Street's top fund managers. Open a Round account today to access Forbes' number one rated app for high-end investment management. Head to investround.com/MWF for more. It's funny that Round is always seems to be, and by the way, we don't plan this. We plan our headlines later. We plan who the sponsors are ahead of time. But Round always seems to be the sponsor in a place, Lynette, where we're going to talk about volatility. And you know, and we don't even have to predict the future, Lynette. You and I both know there's going to be a hell of a lot of volatility in 2020.
Oh, yeah. As we approach the, you know, investment cycle that we're going to talk about today, as we approach the elections, that is the part that's going to be driving a lot of the fear that you mentioned. And I think a little bit of the greed too, but mostly the fear, like, what if, you know, what if this person wins or what if this person wins? And so this is a great topic and, you know, an evergreen really for the next year.
That's right. That's right. Well, and as if the rhetoric isn't bad enough now, you know, it's going to get even worse, which is going to make people panic even more. So let's get into it. Let's see which one of our friends is going to help us kick off today's show.
The money talking party starts now. It's time for Money with Friends.
All right. This is an opinion piece from MarketWatch. This is the opinion of Charles Lemonides. Lynette and I agreed that's got to be how Charles pronounces his last name. We took a great swing there. How to take advantage of fear, then relief in the stock market leading up to the presidential election. Charles writes, the U.S. stock market will fight strong headwinds in the months leading to Election Day in November 2020. But the fear that's transfixing investors on both sides will turn to relief for supporters of the winning party once the outcome is known. At that point, the headwind will quickly shift to a tailwind as those on the winning side put money to work and drive markets higher.
Until then, investors may have to muddle through the fourth year of Donald Trump's presidency. For any president, the fourth year is typically characterized by weak markets. Our analysis of past election cycles shows stock market declines usually last until the resolution of the election is known, which may come prior to Election Day and is then followed by a relief rally. This has been the case in every election cycle dating back to Reagan versus Mondale in 1984. This is a challenging juncture because the fundamentals of the U.S. economy are solid. Market valuations are fair, and many stocks are offering compelling valuations. Beyond that, major 15 to 20 year cycles alternate between despair and exuberance.
And we're definitely, I would think, in the middle then of a 15 year exuberance cycle.
Yeah, we're on the growth trajectory and have been, you know, for a decade plus. And, you know, we've had so much talk this last 6+ months or so about, is a recession coming, what that potentially means, you know, talk about, will US and China ultimately have a deal and not have to worry about the tariff situation? And, you know, clearly some of these international factors are going to affect what we're going to see in not just in the stock market, but in financial markets in general, but overlay that with the fact that we have a presidential election next November. And then, yeah, you start to get all of this, you know, real jitters in the market.
I'll tell you what scares me about this piece as we were reading. When you read this one sentence, this has been the case. So talking about the fact that there's been a decline and then there's a relief rally afterwards, this has been the case in every election cycle dating back to Reagan versus Mondale in 1984. I do not like it when I read this has been the case every single one, because it seems like whenever I see that brought up, we find a way to have a stock market that says, yeah, we're not going to do it this time. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's been the trend. That's been the pattern. We'll show you. You
know? Yes.
But no, here's the part that I think we should take, you know, kind of a wee bit of comfort in. And we all know, you know, we hear the admonition and the reminders that, you know, past performance is no indication necessarily, although I think there's some element in there of, you know, what's going to happen in the future. This is the part that I think we should take some comfort in terms of thinking that this is very much solidly a trend in place. Just at a broad level, we know that the markets, especially stock markets, do not like uncertainty. And at every level, because we have gotten more polarized as a nation, people have gone to their respective camps in terms of who they support, red or blue, that kind of thing, states, there is a huge amount of uncertainty. And we've had a couple of elections that have been tight and some that have been kind of blowouts. But regardless, this trend has stayed firmly in place. And I think it's mainly because whether or not one candidate won the popular vote but lost the electoral college, et cetera, or whether there was, you know, kind of a blowout in terms of popularity and the electoral college picture, the fact of the matter is, we really didn't know until voting day. It was kind of up in the air, like what would actually happen. And all of that basically means uncertainty for investors, because whose policies are going to be advanced? What's the regulatory environment going to look like? You know, who's going to be more favorable to a given industry, whether that's financial services or utility companies or, you know, take your pick, telecom, et cetera. And so I do think that whoever wins, we're going to have a very clear picture, because we got a stark contrast, you know, for next year's election. And the markets are going to kind of work that out. And then once whoever is the victor is known, we will have that kind of relief rally where they're like, okay, either it's going to be 4 more years of what we've had with Donald Trump in terms of advocacy for his economic agenda, or it's going to be something totally different. And then the market's going to have to adjust to that.
But I think that, I mean, let's give people some advice here. If we know that's the cycle all the time, I think it makes sense to look more long-term, like look past it toward your goals and forget about it.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, and we didn't obviously go so far into Mr. Lemonade's piece, but in the end, he was kind of suggesting, you know, stay the course, stay invested.
Yeah.
And I agree. I mean, I'm a long-term investor, but I also think that, you know, we have to look at where you are, right? If you're a pre-retiree and about to, you know, you're on the cusp of retirement versus if you're, you know, a 33-year-old millennial and you got 3 more decades until retirement, you know, there's a different outlook there, of course. And that level of volatility, for some people, they're able to stomach it. But for others, they're like, yeah, you're telling me to stay put, but I'm feeling like I want to push the panic button, you know? And we know that that's not the best thing to do typically. But we have to address the real life concerns that people, when they see 300 and 400 point swings in the Dow, it does make people jittery.
Yeah. Well, and that makes me think, Lynette, that when other people are jittery, like, you know, the headline of this suggested how to take advantage of it. You want to invest when things are weak, right? We don't want to invest as much when things are strong. Really, ultimately, we don't pay attention to any of it. But heck, I think the big lesson here is if we have a weak stock market, let's see how much we can back the truck up, find money in our short term budget, so that we can put more money to work next year. If I can put more money to work, and if I expect the market to be weak, but I expect it to continue and get strong again in the future, heck, I want to find ways to buy as much stock as I possibly can during 2020.
That's right. And I'm going to be doing it. And I think that in general, so one of the bits of tips that I would suggest for people to do is to strongly consider dollar cost averaging. You don't have to throw all your money into the market at once, but you're kind of buying shares at a fixed interval over time, regardless of what the market does. But so if you say, okay, I can commit, you know, $200 a month, you know, $2,000 a month, whatever your number is, you're over time going to be buying shares at a lower price point, as opposed to putting all of your capital, you know, and in investing it in one lump sum. But that dollar cost averaging strategy, by and large, it actually does work if you're a long-term investor. So again, because we're thinking that this is a cycle that is likely, not guaranteed, but is likely to kind of mimic other cycles, what should you be doing? And you should be invested. You should be staying the course. And you can do it in different ways. And dollar cost averaging is one of those strategies.
What I like about that strategy, too, is that you don't have to feel like next year when you have these big swings up and down as we get closer to the election, that you have to sit on top of your 401k or your IRA or your investment account and be pressing the button all the time. You just know you're automatically investing every month. And you might not hit the 400-point down day exactly, but you're still going to buy in with things relatively weak when the prices get more attractive.
Right. That's that. Absolutely. And sometimes that sounds a little counterintuitive to people. It sounds like, well, why am I trying to buy when, you know, when the market is down? And it's like, well, you don't want to buy at the peak. Right. You don't want to buy when prices are high. You want to hold and you want to be able to sell later at the appropriate time after you've realized those gains. So you have to turn people's thinking on its head a little bit and make sure they realize that, you know, when there's this euphoria and this market exuberance, that means you're going to be buying at a higher price point. So, you know, get stocks on sale, in other words.
Well, people are listening to this on Black Friday weekend. It's the Saturday of Black Friday weekend. If you're out shopping and you've got your headphones on or you're in your car shopping and you're listening to this, why are you shopping today? Because prices are lower. It's the same. It's the same thing.
Especially you're getting quality, especially, you know, and again, if you're talking about investing in equities, whether through individual stocks or through mutual funds, et cetera, obviously you want to do your homework. You want to put in some research and make sure you've done your due diligence. But if you fundamentally believe in a given company or a sector or an industry, or if you're tracking an index and you're saying, yeah, I'm looking at the S&P overall, I'm looking at the NASDAQ 100, I'm looking at the Dow, and I'm buying, you know, based on all of these companies that are in this, you know, in a given index. And if you kind of believe like, yeah, for the long term, I think it's going to go up, or I think we're going to see positive returns here, you don't have to worry so much about individual fluctuations and about the day-to-day vagaries of the stock market. That's actually normal. And believe it or not, it's even healthy for markets to go through some of that. So, you know, don't push that panic button too soon.
We do this show live in front of a Facebook audience. If you want to hang out with us, head to facebook.com/iStackBenjamins. That's the Stacking Benjamins Facebook page, our sister podcast. But Amika, singing off your song sheet here, Lynette, says, I always use Warren Buffett's quote in my own investing. People are greedy, I'm fearful. Then when they're fearful, I'm greedy. Also know what you're buying, study the fundamentals, and know the management team too. You should, Lynette, send him a gold star.
That's right. And, you know, we should all be so fortunate as to get to Warren Buffett billionaire status.
Right.
But, you know, there's another thing that Warren Buffett is famous for saying. And it's when people ask him about when to sell. And he said, or when, how long to hold. And he said, basically, hold forever.
Forever. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Now, easy for him to say, right, because, you know, he can live off the interest and be just fine.
Right.
And, you know, most of us do need to sell at a certain point in time. And I think, you know, one of the key things I would tell people to keep in mind as they're thinking about investing during election season and post election is you really have to have a strategy. I mean, so many people think that investing is just about, you know, picking the next Apple or Google or you know, whatever is the hot stock of their time. And it's really about, first and foremost, strategizing to meet your own unique goals and needs and assessing your risk tolerance and thinking about, okay, what's going to get me there? Then, yes, you have to think about buying the right investments to meet those goals. But then you got to hold and monitor. You have to sell in a tax efficient way, in a judicious way. And you have to, you know, have good dealings with financial intermediaries or folks who can help you along the way. So there's kind of like five phases, the way I see it, to the investing process. It's certainly not just about, you know, making the right picks.
Right. Right. But it is fun. It is fun.
And this, I mean, for money geeks like us, you know, that's so right. We kind of, you know, I don't know. We really, you know, I was going to say kind of get off on talking about this, and I guess I can, you know, but for money geeks like us, we get excited about it because first we know how it can change people's lives, how it can help them in so many ways. And, you know, I don't believe that investing in the markets at whatever level or capacity you have to do should be stressful. And so, you know, you take the political situation that we're facing and people are stressed about it, you know, if we're honest, right? And so now you lay that with the money side of it, which can be anxiety producing. And, you know, you could see how that would be like, make people kind of, you know, freak out a little bit.
Yeah.
But overall, you know, if it's going to keep you up at night or if you're so worried, that's not the right investment or strategy or approach for you. It should be something that's within your comfort zone. Because I do think your own, you know, your body and your mind can tell you something in terms of what your true risk tolerance is.
It's funny, a group that we know of that does that very well is Round, who has a phenomenal investment strategy. How about that for a segue? I'm going to talk about Round here for a second while Lynette and I come up with our big idea for today, the big takeaway. Round is a better way to manage your money than you're probably managing it right now. Lots of people think about doing the right thing, but their actual portfolio could probably use some work. And that's where Round comes in. Round's a digital investment consultant that gets members direct access to premium investments. With Round, your money's actively invested with Wall Street's top fund managers. That means investing with fund managers who can strategically reallocate your money during market volatility. They also get your money exposure to alternative asset classes, those ones you've been meaning to invest in, but haven't had time to research. So instead of dealing with a financial advisor looking out for their own bottom line, they're looking out for yours. And I would actually say, instead of dealing with an investment advisor, always looking out for their own bottom line. But anyway, in fact, here's something that might surprise you. This surprised me. Round even waives their fee if your returns turn up negative in a given month. You lose money, that's how sure they are that they can be helpful. Open a Round account today to access Forbes' number one rated app for high-end investment management. Head to investround.com/MWF for details to get started. That's investround.com/MWF. All right, Lynette, what's the big aha here?
So my takeaway for listeners, regardless of your political beliefs and, you know, who you want to win in next year's political election for the presidency, you should take heart in knowing that if you, quote unquote, lose, if your candidate loses, so to speak, it's going to be okay. Like, regardless of who is ultimately in office, because we have seen that markets are extremely resilient. And while there's a lot, of course, that the commander in chief, that the president can do, there's a lot of economic forces that are outside of the control and the sphere, let's say, of just one woman or man in office. So it'll be okay. Regardless, stay invested for the long run and invest according to your own time horizon and your goals and needs. And that's the best way to investment success.
I absolutely love that more long-term view because, elections will come and go. And what really gave me comfort in this piece was the fact that it is systematic and the same thing has happened over and over and over. And while I think some people get stuck in the moment and the hype around, I think also largely created by some news organizations who make a lot of money on more hype, that it's just another process. It's part of the American way. So start with it. I quote this too much, Lynette. Stephen Covey's book, Begin with the End in Mind, right? If you begin with the end in mind, you're going to go to stocks and real estate for your long-term goals, stick with them, find ways in a year like this year when everybody else is panicking to jump in and hopefully buy more. And I think you're going to win that way.
Absolutely.
Lynette, where do people find the Money Coach besides on Money with Friends? Tell us.
So I'm on social media, you know, Instagram, Facebook, you know, Twitter, LinkedIn, all of those good things. Everything is under The Money Coach or my full name, Lynette Kalfani Cox. And then my two sites that I own and operate with my dear hubby and business partner, Earl Cox, our sites are askthemoneycoach.com and moneycoachuniversity.com.
Yeah, and we'll have links to those on our podcast page at moneywithfriendspodcast.com. Hope everybody's having a great holiday weekend. Don't spend too much money shopping this weekend. Save some money for that big weakness in the stock market next year. On behalf of Lynette, I'm Joe. We'll see you next time back here at Money with Friends. Bye-bye.
This show is created and hosted by Joe Saul Sehy and Bobby Rebel and is a joint venture of BRK Media LLC and Stacking Benjamins LLC, copyright 2019. Taylor Eichenberg engineered this show and Ashley Wall is the producer. For a list of our friends who appear on the podcast, head to our website, moneywithfriendspodcast.com. You can also check out our schedule for upcoming recording sessions so you can join us and be part of the show. As with anything, remember you shouldn't take advice from any of us or any other video or podcast without first talking to your financial advisor, and that the people in this episode are here for your and their entertainment purposes only. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and we'll see you back here next time with another episode of Money with Friends.